You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You've made a safe place for the truth to be told.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think that the Lions got screwed. He's reporting. You can't convince me otherwise. And the fact that the league says, hey, it's on the players, that's the biggest BS in the world. Especially when you demote your officials. You know, that's an acknowledgement of doing wrong.
Today's guests: Ravens linebacker Patrick Queen, Steelers cornerback Patrick Peterson, plus Colts receiver Michael Pittman. And now, it's Rich
That
Eisen.
Is correct. Can confirm, and there I am. Hey, welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listener audience out there on the Cumulus Podcast Network. We've got a ton of different podcasts for you. Overreaction Mondays out there. It's still very, very germane because we're still overreacting to what happened last weekend, getting ready to overreact to what we're going to be seeing this weekend. Charles Davis on What the Football with Susie and Amy. That's out there for you all 3 hours of this show. We've got three players. Patrick Queen of the one seed AFC North champion Baltimore Ravens is first up. Patrick Peterson of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who need to beat the Ravens this weekend and then get some help in order to make the playoffs as a 10-win National Football League team in the regular season. He joins us at the top of hour number two. Hour number three, Michael Pittman Jr. of the Indianapolis Colts, who last year at this time were flat out dead in the water. They are in a de facto playoff game in week number 18, beat the Texans therein, lose to the Texans. They are out. That is the way we are wrapping things up on this Thursday for you, but we've got 3 hours until all that. I've got my top five most intriguing games to look forward to. There's our phone lines, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I have completely set the table for you. So that's now I turn to Chris Brockman and say, how are you, sir? Good to see you on this Thursday.
You said it. I'm going to eat.
How are you, Jason Feller? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
Mike Del Tufo is...
I don't know.
Okay. TJ Jefferson, candles lit. Good to see you over there.
Candles lit. I'm tired, man. I was up in the middle of the night watching Wrestle Kingdom 18 from Japan.
What were you doing?
Exactly, Rich.
Watching Wrestle Kingdom 18 from Japan last night.
Nobody knows what that means.
It didn't start till, well, wrestling fans know, Chris. It starts in the middle of the night. Started at 1 a.m., so I'm a little tired right now.
Dude,
who the hell is Tim Horton?
Thank you. You know?
Is that what you did?
Yeah, man. Okay. It's like the WrestleMania of Japan. Don't be ignorant, guys, please.
Very good.
Don't be ignorant.
Great.
Shout out to that boy Naito.
How do you? Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Domo arigato.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Roboto.
Those single Bernales, they help on.
Hey, here's what we do here on this program. We let you in on things you might not know, okay? We try to set the table, as I say. We give you access. We make you smarter. That's what we do here on this program.
Try to.
Until we act completely stupid, which is probably going to happen in 2 minutes anyway.
You mean we haven't started that?
We haven't started that yet, no. So here's what I'm holding in my hands right now. I've given each of you gentlemen.
I love this.
Well, you remember this when you used to work at NFL.
These things are great.
NFL research comes up with grids, color-coded grids. Here they are. Playoff clenching scenarios.
What's the scenario?
Every single game that actually counts in the playoff clenching scenarios for week 18. Here you go. I'm holding the AFC one up in my hand. I think I've AFC. Even given that to Mr. Hoskins, as a matter of fact. There it is. There is a lot of purple because all 32 different playoff scenarios and how things can play out in the AFC this weekend. Baltimore is the one seed, and there's a lot of red in the three seed because the Chiefs have clinched the three seed.
Can't change.
And the Cleveland, there's a lot of brown in the five seed.
Hey.
And that is because they are the five seed. And that is why Tyler Huntley and Blaine Gabbert. And who's starting for the Cleveland Browns this weekend?
Oh, man, I forgot.
Is it Mike Sipe? Brian Sipe? Brian's
yeah,
side.
Yeah, Jake Driscoll.
That's who it is. Okay.
Jake Driscoll,
for the Cleveland Browns, that's who's starting in for Cleveland because they've clinched.
Spurgeon win.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Tim Couch.
The NFC playoff seedings are so whacked out. It's kind of cut and dry because in the AFC, lots have been clinched, and there's only a handful of scenarios as to who can make the 7 seed or the 4 seed or the 6 seed. In the NFC, it's so whacked out. There's 32 permutations for seeds 1 through 5, 64 for seeds 4, 6, and 7. Okay, there you go.
That's so crazy.
And that's how
we needed two pieces of sheets.
Two pieces of paper to figure out how the end of the wild card race is going to be figured out in the NFC. And we're here to simplify things for you. You know, if you were here, we'd hand you these color coded charts. And then I would ask you for your glasses because I forgot mine at home and I'm freaked out about it. But I'm gonna get through this 3-hour program, okay? Because not only do I need it to see, anybody who watches on the Roku channel, you know, it's something I grab and then literally halfway through the show, I'm like, I can't see through them because I put my fingers all over the lenses. I'm going too deep. Now I'm too deep. Now I need to simplify things.
I told you need to turn into Fred G. Sanford and have a drawer full of glasses.
I got it. I got it. So I'll simplify it for you, certainly for the NFC first. In the NFC, all right, there are 64 scenarios for the 4, 6, and 7 seed. The 4 seed is kind of simple. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win, they are the 4 seed and they're in the playoffs. If they lose, then the winner of the Saints and the Falcons win the NFC South and they are the 4 seed. So you got that. But unbelievably, Tampa has no scenarios. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. I saw all this before the show. Make sure I'm getting this right. Yeah, Tampa has 0 scenarios in which they're the 7 seed. So they're either in as the 4 or they're out.
Wow.
Okay. The Atlanta Falcons have 0 scenarios where they are the 7 seed. They're either the 4 or they're out. For some reason, don't ask me why, as Billy Joel once famously said in the Glass Houses album, the Saints have 2 scenarios in which they could be the 7 seed.
Hey.
Here we go, yo.
So I'm saying there's a chance.
You want to read those off?
And because the Bucs have a playoff clinching scenario with a tie, but the bottom line is, here's the deal. The Saints can still make it even when they lose. I don't know what to tell you. Well, no, they win and then they're in as the 7 seed.
Yeah, they involve Arizona winning.
Because it's a playoff clinching scenario involved like with common opponents or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you lose, I win.
And I promised I'd try to make it simple for you. So here you go. Well, don't be confused. There are of the 64 different scenarios for the 6 and 7 seeds. The Rams are in all 64 of them. They've clinched. The Packers are in 38 of the 64, just over half. Okay. 16 of the 64 scenarios, the Seahawks are in. 6 of the 64 scenarios the Vikings are in. And in the scenarios for the New Orleans Saints to make it as a 7 seed, pardon me, there's 4 different scenarios where they can make it still. And so that's your chances of your team getting in the playoffs as a wild card in the NFC. The Bucs can't make it as a wild card. The Falcons can't make it as a wild card. But the Packers, Seahawks, Vikings, and Saints can. Make sense? Thank you.
So what's up? Is that it?
No, it is not. It is not. Man, in the AFC, 32 playoff clinching scenarios. Half of them have Miami showing up in Kansas City for the wild card.
Oof.
Bottom line, if the Bills beat the Miami Dolphins, if they lose, they're locked as the 6th seed. So on Sunday night when you're watching that game, if the Dolphins lose, you get Tyreek Hill going to Arrowhead and super wild card weekend.
Let's go.
Correct. 20 of the 32 scenarios have the Jaguars in. Half of them are the Jaguars winning the division. The Jaguars have scenarios in which they lose. They're in as the 7th seed in the American Football Conference playoffs. And if you could pop that AFC color-coded chart on the screen for those watching on the Roku channel, that's the teal you see under the 7 column. See the 4 Jacksonville scenarios where they can lose their game in Tennessee and still make the playoffs. Okay. Now then, 16 of the 32 scenarios that you see on the screen have Houston, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis in. Pittsburgh could wind up being the 6th seed as well under certain scenarios. And Pittsburgh and Jacksonville have clinching scenarios where they lose their games and still get in. And you know how that happens. It all involves a whole bunch of stuff that I will just quickly make as understandable as possible. Jacksonville makes the playoffs in the AFC if they lose under this following scenario. Here we go. Let me get it for you here. Oh, my gosh. I got papers everywhere. And I don't have my glasses, damn it. Okay. Here we go. Thank you. On the screen. The playoff clinching scenarios that if they tie and the Steelers lose, or the Steelers and Broncos lose and the Texans and Colts don't end in a tie. All right.
All right.
So the Steelers go first against the Ravens. And then the other clinching scenarios for the Pittsburgh Steelers where they can lose and still make it is if Jacksonville loses, Denver wins, and Houston and Indianapolis doesn't end in a tie. So
I think we're going to see Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Well, that's entirely possible because, again, they're taking on a Ravens team that is not starting their MVP quarterback in the Ravens not starting Lamar Jackson. However, this is why I'm leading up to this whole punch for you. The team that has the most on the line this weekend, I understand the Indianapolis Colts and the Texans are playing a playoff game. Whoever wins is in. And whoever wins might be in as the AFC South champion if the Jacksonville Jaguars lose the next day in Tennessee. And you just saw yesterday, we ended the show with Mike Vrabel giving a very impassioned speech about why it matters for them to win this game in Tennessee despite a lost season full of losses. I understand that. Shane Steichen and D'Amico Ryans can go to the playoffs and go to the playoffs with a home playoff game as division champions in their first season as head coaches in the NFL. That's a lot on the line, right? Jordan Love can make the playoffs by beating the Bears and putting ownership of the Bears in his name, scratched out Aaron Rodgers in week one, and he can continue to sharpie that in to the ownership of the Bears as the quarterback of the Packers in week 18. That's big. Obviously, the NFC South is up for grabs. That's big. Pete Carroll would love to make the playoffs. I understand there's a lot on the line for everybody, and that's what we do in this business is talk about what's at stake, and everyone could use it. However, there's one team that has the most on the line this weekend, and it's the road team in the final game of this weekend in regular season. It's the Buffalo Bills. I left them out of this whole spiel about the scenarios and how many teams can be in and how many teams can be out and what are the odds and how many teams are in how many scenarios and all that stuff. Of the 32 playoff clinching scenarios in the AFC, again, this color-coded chart I started with right here, very simple, 28 of them have the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. 28 of the 32. There's only 4 scenarios in which the Bills do not make the playoffs. And they are a team that can win the Super Bowl this year. They're 3 on my power rankings list, and they have been living there for damn near a month. They are playing some of the best football in the NFL, and I know they struggled against the Chargers and the Patriots, and the Chargers and the Patriots are in the top 10 of the draft, some top 5 maybe. I get it. Games are tough to win in December and January when you're supposed to win them. And the other teams, as again, you heard from Mike Vrabel, they want to win. No, your team's not tanking. All right? They are playing some of the best football And out of everybody that I just mentioned, with all due respect to Green Bay and Seattle and to everybody trying to win the South divisions in their respective conferences and Pittsburgh, which team were you talking about as possibly making the Super Bowl and winning it this year that could be out this weekend? That would be the Buffalo Bills. And they're going into Miami, which would be the 2 seed if they win. That's it. Miami is either the 2 seed or the 6 seed. If you put up that color-coded chart one more time on the AFC, you take a look and you see the Miami blue, light blue. It's either in the 2 or the 6. That's it. They're either hosting the Texans, they're either hosting the Colts, the Jaguars, Pittsburgh. They could be hosting Buffalo still, by the way. Buffalo has a chance to be the 7th seed. So the way that the Buffalo Bills are out, there's only 4 scenarios where they are out, is if they lose. Because you could see Miami. Would you want to be hosting Pittsburgh or Jacksonville or Indianapolis or Houston or even, you know, Buffalo? Or would you rather be visiting Kansas City? I understand the way Kansas City looks, but you want to take that chance that they don't flip a switch? Gotcha. So Buffalo needs to win it because they could be the 2 seed. And here's a scenario in which they're out. If Pittsburgh wins in Baltimore, okay?
Okay.
We've already established that's feasible.
Yep.
And then the Houston and Indianapolis game does not end in a tie. Somebody wins it. I would say that's possible.
I would say most likely there'll be a winner.
Then we go into Sunday watching Tennessee. Because if Jacksonville beats Tennessee to become the AFC South champions, that's possible, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Then Buffalo loses, they're out.
Ooh.
They would enter Sunday Night Football in you're either the 2 seed or you're home. And you're out. And this entire season where you finished up playing some of the best football, and they could go in and lose a game like they did in Philadelphia, looking like world beaters, but a mistake here cost them at the end. Does that sound like a Buffalo Bills scenario to you? With their MVP quarterback lighting it up, and the coach makes the offensive coordinator change middle of the season, and it seems to work, and it still doesn't put them in the playoffs? And as I told everybody in the rest of the AFC weeks ago, do not let them in the tournament. And 4 teams that have everything to play for, Pittsburgh when they take the field on Saturday, the Texans and the Colts when they take the field on Saturday night, and Jacksonville when they take the field on Sunday, and the Titans acting as if they have everything to play for. But Jacksonville goes into Tennessee, and they win their games. Buffalo has to win to make the playoffs. Otherwise, they're out. Or they're in as the 2 seed. I've never heard of such a thing. And this is the season that they were supposed to win it all. And they enter Week 18 in a very feasible, they've got to win or go home, which is why NBC and the league chose this game, not just because of all the stars on the field and that you could either be the AFC East champ or most likely, again, 28 of the 32 scenarios have the Bills making it. But the other 4 scenarios sound pretty damn feasible. And if the coach, when maybe he made the offensive coordinator changes, and everybody's talking about Sean McDermott, was out of options, if they didn't make the playoffs, does he get saved just because they played so damn well all the way through to the end? I mean, there's a ton at stake right now. That team more than all of them. And the rest of the AFC's with him. Because I would be rooting for those 4 scenarios where the Bills were out if I were the rest of the teams in the American Football Conference playoff boat. Let's take a break. Baltimore Ravens are going to put Patrick Queen on our screen right now, and that rhymes. Honestly, I'm spinning words, and I have no glasses.
You're like Blind Fury.
There's a Christmas tree in the window, too.
Oh, fantastic. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here. Patrick Queen will be joining us next from the Baltimore Ravens' top-seeded defense. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying, Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. All right, back here on the program, our radio audience will return in less than 2 minutes, and that's when we'll bring in Patrick Queen. And again, just for my own edification, Chris, you were watching the Ravens check in on our Zoom.
Yeah,
I don't have that capability. I'm watching what our competition's up to and everything else that's going on and the world of sports.
I got our full camera mix.
Is there? You say there's a Christmas tree in the
there? There is still a Christmas tree at the Ravens facility.
So what? Like again. We talked about the
full-on ornaments and everything.
No, we talked about the cutoff of
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Right.
You Larry David thought yesterday is the Wednesday 2 days. You get two days to wish people a Happy New Year, and then you don't say Happy New Year to anybody anymore. And you think it's a 2 week thing.
I think you get about mid January, as long as you haven't seen them yet.
I got it. Understood.
Right.
I mean, it'd be weird if I said Happy New Year
every time I saw you.
Exactly. Like I said it to you, I think the first time I saw you.
Yep.
And that's
it.
That's good.
That's it.
Sticks.
That's good. It sticks.
Right? I mean, it sticks like your candle
satisfying.
Right there. It's lit. You
satisfying.
Either light it or you don't.
Now when Del Tuvo comes in, If he comes back in, then do we say Happy New Year?
I think on Monday I'm going to say Happy New Year to Mike. It's the first time I've seen him.
Okay.
Is he here on Monday? We don't know.
I have no idea, actually.
Do we know?
He should be here.
Okay, good.
Wow, that's not a yes.
That's conditional phrasing.
Not a yes.
So what's the cutoff on having a Christmas tree?
Great question.
That's a personal preference.
Great question.
I think.
Personal preference. Ours came down on the 26th.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah. That's insane.
No, that's a steel curtain. That's an iron curtain that just comes straight down.
That's insane.
Christmas is over.
Yeah, but
you gotta let the boy revel in the glory a little bit, don't you? The tree.
We put our tree up the day after Thanksgiving.
It's been 10 days after Christmas now.
It's been up a whole month.
Okay,
it's 10 days.
You were the after Christmas. Okay, well
Thanksgiving,
then.
Boom, we came up.
Well, whatever it is, the Ravens. Hey, we're all paying rent in the Ravens world right now. Anyway,
amen to that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So the Ravens are.
Tell
you. Look, nobody's telling Steve Bisciotti what to do with his tree. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I don't know of a single power ranking list that doesn't have this team number one. Who doesn't have this team number one? I mean, they are...
Not a legitimate power ranking
list. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, they smoked the 49ers on Christmas night, and then they filleted the mammal. Because, again, the Dolphins are not fish.
They're a mammal.
Yeah. And then put it all together. The other way to ask the question is, who's got it better than them?
Nobody.
Thank you for saying it. He won't say it because he just can't.
Nobody.
He just can't do a Harbaugh thing over there, like Kyle Hamilton couldn't.
Come
but
on.
This guy's an LSU champion, so he knows what it's like to win a national championship, and now he knows what it's like to be the number one seed in the AFC playoff. Once again, Patrick Queen back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate it for having me.
Is that a Christmas tree over your left shoulder?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
I mean, it looks like a small Christmas tree. I'm not going to lie. It's just a small ornament to your left.
That's for the small tight ends that we got. So, you know, they go.
Is that what it is? Is that Isaiah Likely's tree? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Isaiah Likely, Mark Oliver, all the small guys on that side of the ball.
Are you in the tight end room? Like, what room are you in right now in the Ravens?
I'm in the tight end room.
Is that right? Okay. All right. Very good.
That's called him small. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, listen, this is your world, man. What is it like to be on this team right now, Patrick?
It's exciting, but at the same time, it's just like everybody's so locked in and so focused. Like, just the energy is great. You know, it's something that I haven't done since I've been here, and something that hasn't been done since 19. So, just where we're sitting at right now, and then got Pittsburgh this week. So, you know, everybody's just fired up right now.
Okay, everyone's fired up right now. And how are you approaching Week 18?
Same way I approach every week. Just make sure my body's right, make sure my mind right, just getting ready to go out here and just get another win.
Okay, just go out and get another win. What did you do to San Francisco that others seem to have had problems doing?
I think tackle for four quarters and then affect the quarterback. I think with the O-line they got, it's kind of difficult to get there, but we had faith in our D-line, and they did a terrific job, and we just played coverage behind them. We did what we do, and if we needed to blitz, we blitz, but we rarely had to do that.
Well, going into the week when you're looking at film of Brock Purdy, what did you think you could exploit?
Just trying to get pressure on him. Like, he can make every throw on the field. He can make all the reads. And we just knew that we could get pressure on him and just keep the pocket on him and not give him clear lanes to throw, that we could definitely affect him.
Okay, so, you know, because the general sense in my industry, Patrick, is that Brock Purdy got exposed by you. And I understand you would think that you have the MVP quarterback of the league on your team. And I think that will be proven correct at NFL Honors the Thursday before Super Bowl that you'd like to be playing in. But what do you say to people that think you exposed Brock Purdy? How do you respond to that?
I mean, our defense has been playing great like that all year. And, you know, he just had to be one of the guys that we had to affect, and that'd be the outcome. But I still think he's a great quarterback. I still think he's definitely should be like that in that running. Oh, for sure. I think Lamar obviously should win it, but I think Brock Purdy still should be in that running.
Okay, and then what were you able to affect against Miami so successfully?
Oh, man. It's tales in what Miami does and what San Fran does that I can't say right now, just in case we have to see those guys again. But it's just, like I said, you just got to affect the quarterback, honestly. You just got to get your D-line and get into those lanes. Just play coverage. Don't let anybody get behind you. Just have to tackle for four quarters.
No, and again, I understand you might have to play Miami again. And then obviously anybody that might have thought that this matchup on Christmas night would have been tighter than the one that we saw would like to see a rematch in the Super Bowl. But you just said there's tells. I'm not asking you to tell me a tell, but you're saying you've seen something.
Yeah, you just got to hit the guys for four quarters. That's it. And if it takes longer, do it for longer. It's really just come down to it's football. It got to be a physical game. It's a physical sport. That's what it got to be.
Okay. What's your favorite Joe Burrow story, Patrick?
Actually, my favorite Joe Burrow story probably was the day he came in, the first time we had our conditioning test. He came in with his long hair, everybody calling him Sunshine, making fun of him and stuff. And the guys just blowing the conditioning test out the water. Like, we all preparing for it, and we're all there gasping. I remember me and Devin used to, like, do the races during the conditioning test, and Joe is, like, right there, step for step, running with us, talking a little trash every now and then. Everybody's getting water, and Joe's like, no, I don't need no water. I'm good. And he just came in and blew it out the water, and really from that point on, we know who Joe was going to be.
So was that the only day you called him Sunshine, Patrick?
It probably lasted like another week, and he cut his hair. So
I see. Okay, it was a hair thing. So he showed up, you know, I guess out of the portal from Columbus, Ohio. And you weren't expecting much. I mean, what was your first impression of Burrow?
Yeah. So I came in with Miles Brennan. five-star quarterback, everything. So, you know, obviously when you come in with somebody in your class, you want that guy to be the player. And, you know, you hear about Joe coming from Ohio State and stuff, and it's like, it's going to be this quarterback competition. And it's like, well, I want my guy to win. But then the way Joe came in, he just, he took over everything, honestly.
He did. And so it was there, outside of the conditioning moment, a moment on the field of that national championship season where you thought to yourself, this guy is something else.
Yeah, I think maybe it was the Florida game, and it was going back and forth, halftime we go in. I think they're up by 7 or tied, one or the other. And he comes in, he was like, if y'all let them score anymore, I promise we're going to blow them out. And showing up after halftime, come out, guns blazing, touchdown to Jamar, touchdown to Clyde, just everybody scoring.
Everybody scoring. Any similarities between Joe and Lamar that you can point out?
I think their confidence in it and knowing what they could do. I think that's the biggest thing. Both of those guys play totally different, but also can make every single play on the field. It's just when you see those guys step on the field, it's just like that swagger about something. I don't know what it is. Like, you could never say what it directly is, but it's like just the energy that they have.
Mm-hmm. And so Lamar this year does appear to have taken another step. Obviously, he's won an MVP before you got there to Baltimore. So you don't have that frame of reference of what he looked like that season to this one. I understand that. But you are a linebacker of note for a defensive unit that is balling out. So what have you seen differently from, say, maybe even last year or the previous 2 years to this year with your quarterback, Patrick?
I think he just got complete control of the offense and knowing everything about the offense and knowing what he can do and what he can't do. And the things that he can't do is not very many things. And when you just see him step on the field, bro, it's just like everything, like making the checks, making the reads, going through every single progression. If something's not there, just taking what he could get, not trying to force anything. It's just he's playing real dominant at the quarterback position right now. And that's why we got all the faith to just go out there, get the stops, and get the ball back in his hand as fast as we can.
And walk me through your relationship with Roquan Smith, Quan, as he told me to call him. What about you and Quan?
Next time you talk to him, call him Rohan.
Rohan. Oh. Let me write that down. Okay. What will happen to me if I call him Rohan, Patrick? Give me a full heads up, please.
Nothing's going to happen to you. He might get a little hot, but nothing will happen.
He might get a little hot.
Might get a little hot. Let me make a note of that. Okay. So Quan and Queen, Q squared. What's your relationship with him?
Great guy. He's actually like lives right inside of me. He's just a force. He always got some jokes every single day. He come into the facility, he got a new joke that we swear he gets from like a movie or something that you go home and watch. But he claimed he doesn't. He claimed he just got that much knowledge upstairs, and we all highly doubt that. But I mean, a great guy, great leader, fierce competitor. He just got that switch. As soon as he stepped on the field, he's a whole different person. So it's somebody that I highly respect and I highly love.
What do you mean he's a totally different person?
In the facility, he's joking 24/7, never got a straight face. But then as soon as we get on the field, bro, that switch flips quick.
Mm. Any of the jokes are safe for work? Can you tell me them? One of the jokes?
No, can't. They got to stay in house. All that got to stay in house.
Okay, very good. Understood. Very good. Well, you know what slipped out of house, Patrick, was John Harbaugh's dance moves after you clinched the one seed. Yeah. You want to give me a critique, quick critique here?
Patrick? 0 out of 10. I give 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10 because he tried. He was having fun.
Okay.
He was having 1 out of 10.
Did he need treatment after it? You know,
I think he actually cut his hand open. So
did he really? Did he really cut his hand open?
Yeah, he had blood gushing from his hand. He just wiped it on his forehead and just.
Wow.
Yeah. War daddy.
That's a battle case. War daddy.
Wow.
What'd he cut his hand on? Something on the floor?
I guess his watch. He was doing like some kind of like dance with his little arm moving side to side. I don't know what it was.
Oh my, I had no idea. Drew blood. That's how off kilter his dance moves were. Okay.
Should have been dancing.
Okay. But hey, everything's good though. Obviously in your world. And you know, he's off to the national championship game Monday night. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I did not.
He's apparently going there. His brother's coaching in it. You know, that's my school, Patrick. You have any advice for me?
Got any advice for me?
Man, just enjoy the moment. That's all I can say. Honestly, enjoy the moment.
Okay. Well, I was planning on going out there Monday night like Odell and handing out $100 bills. Did you get any of those that night?
I don't recall that night.
All of a sudden. Oh, my God. He's got to leave the Zoom all of a sudden.
I don't recall.
Okay. And now Odell's your teammate. That's pretty wild. Isn't the crazy how things happen?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, just seeing him for that split second after the national championship game and then seeing him now and just being able to actually hang out with him, see the type of guy he is. I think he's a guy that everybody needs in their locker room. He's just easy to mess with his teammates and stuff. And then on the field, he still got it. Everybody was saying he's washing. He still make plays that people scratch their head to. So,
last one for you, Patrick, before I let you go out of this Zoom here. What would it mean for you to add a Lombardi to the national championship you won at LSU?
It would mean the world. I won one in high school, won a national championship in college. So winning this one, that would be the big three. And just to see everybody accomplish their our common goal, that's probably the biggest thing. Just seeing everybody, family, happy, seeing them happy, knowing that everything that we've been working on for so long, just, you know, finally come to pass.
Well, who's got it better than you, right?
Nobody.
There you go. Well done. You know, Kyle Hamilton wouldn't finish that sentence because he's an Notre Dame guy and he thinks it's a Michigan thing. Did you know that?
Yeah, Kyle, you got to tell him to grow up. He acts like a baby sometimes.
Okay. You tell him that. And you tell Rohan I said hi. Will you please?
I will.
Take care, Patrick. Thanks again.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Yeah, that's it. Patrick Queen right there in front of the tight ends room Christmas tree.
Little tree.
On the Rich Eisen Show.
The little tight ends. Little kept tight calling end. Them little.
Listen.
Yeah. They're teammates.
Let him. Come on now. They're all good. So I learned a few things.
Okay.
Here's what I learned.
All right.
The tight ends have a little Christmas tree in their room.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Here's what I learned. He suddenly has a fuzzy memory when Ben Franklin comes up from that night.
$100 handshakes.
Very, 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 very fuzzy. Fuzzy memory.
Get the gag.
Look at the video.
Here's another thing. I am not calling Quan Smith Rohan.
Yeah, I was going to advise against
as
that.
As your attorney, yeah. I recommend not doing that.
The second he said it, I was like, you probably think you could, but I don't think you should.
Lamar has full control of the offense. And I will say this again, because we talked about this yesterday with Schefter. And he's just like, you know, why didn't other teams approach the Ravens and put them in the rock and the hard place? Or if I go full count, nobody ran out. Nobody reached the Ravens. Not one team. Okay. And then, but last year, week 15, Saturday afternoon game on NFL Network, sitting in a room with Kurt Warner, talking to John Harbaugh, who, again, find yourself in your life someone who loves you as much as John Harbaugh loves Lamar Jackson. I'm telling you, every word out of his mouth is effusive. Every story is, this guy's unbelievable. And under that construct, he told a story of how Lamar sometimes would make a play where he doesn't know how he sees the receiver. He's like fourth, fifth on the progression. He's running around, makes an unbelievable throw, touchdown. And he'll say to him, how did you see that, Lamar? And he would say, just playing ball, coach. And then same game, he would just make a throw where he throws it in a window he shouldn't, and it's picked. And he'd say to him, like, why'd you throw that? And he got the same answer, just playing ball, coach. And at dinner that night, I turned to Kurt Warner. I'm like, is that a good thing? Like, is that a good thing? Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, if you get more of the touchdowns and less of the interceptions,
then sure.
Then yeah, it is. But like, if you want someone playing from the pocket more than running around and creating plays out of the, you know, their orifice, then not so much a good thing. This year, you're getting neither. And the ones that he is creating because he's hanging in the pocket and he's seeing the guys, he's doing more than just playing ball, coach. He is killing it. Again, look at, I believe it was a touchdown when they were down against the Rams and a two-point conversion. Those two throws that Lamar made, I thought on the spot I would have handed him the MVP right then and there. Because against the Rams, who we have already learned subsequently, I believe, is that the last game the Rams have lost? Or the only game they have lost in the last couple of months? Was that game in Baltimore? They are a tough out, man, and I think the NFC is going to learn it. Lamar played out of his mind against the Rams when the Rams were throwing it all over the bank.
Yeah, the Rams have won 6 out of 7. The only loss was against Baltimore.
In overtime, due to a special teams play.
Yep.
A punt return for a touchdown, a walk-off. One of only two this year, the other one being the Jets over the Bills in week one. Listen, so Lamar has, in fact, when you hear like he's got full control of the offense, that's not what you were hearing over the last couple of years. Or the offense wasn't, you know, as diversified enough for him to play the way that he is playing right now. Whichever way you want to look at it, it's all good in that neighborhood right now. And the last thing that I learned is Niners and Dolphins have some tells. Niners and Dolphins have had some tells. When I asked for the follow-up, he's just like, oh, just hit him 4 quarters. Okay. But he's like, we may play him again.
Yeah.
We may play him again. Oh, these playoffs are going to be insane.
Insane.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Phone calls, and we learned a new word here in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
Disjointedness. Oh, I didn't know.
Man.
There's some disjointedness going on around here.
Not around here, just
no.
Down the street.
Yeah, for the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. Or down the street here in El Segundo.
Yeah, it's like down the street. I
mean, where? There's no disjointedness here.
A couple feet away.
Oh, we're fully jointed here.
Double jointed.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposed to going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I have a few questions about Cincinnati that you might have to know if it's true or false. You're from Athens, right?
I am, yeah.
It's a 3-hour drive from Cincinnati, right?
Two and a half.
Oh, with a lead foot.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Okay. I've got 4 aspects of Cincinnati, and I want to know if you're already ready to figure out about this city. I'm just picking that city out of the blue.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false, Cincinnati, true or false with Joe Burrow, everybody. True or false, it's the birthplace of Academy Award-winning director Steven Spielberg.
False.
Is that true or false?
I have no idea.
It is true.
Okay. I didn't know that.
All right, that's number one. Play-Doh was invented in Cincinnati, true or false?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say all these that you're saying are true.
Okay, it is true. Now, just hold on a second. Just because you can read a defense doesn't mean that you can read me right now, okay? This pre-snap. Cincinnati is the site of the United States' biggest celebration of Oktoberfest.
That's true.
Okay, you knew that right then and there.
I know about the parties, yeah.
You know about...
Yeah.
Have you been to an Oktoberfest?
I have not, Cincinnati? No.
Okay. Are you going to have to talk about it with your team first?
We'll have to talk about
it. Okay, talk about it with your team. And the number one radio station in Cincinnati is WKRP.
That one... I have no idea.
Before his time,
it's
Rich.
False. There's a famous TV show called WKRP in Cincinnati that is way before your time. Have you never heard of it at all? Gosh darn it.
I'm older than most college football players, but I'm not that old.
I mean, we've heard you're older than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he was in my recruiting class. Yeah.
Okay.
Couple months, I think.
And if you had one choice of a meal, would you pick crawfish or spaghetti with chili?
Crawfish.
Really?
I don't like all the Cincinnati cuisine as far as all that stuff.
Not yet. Greater
ice cream. I might learn to like it, but we'll see.
Okay. Very good. Good old Joe Burrow back in the day. Sunshine Burrow.
Stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. You can check out every single broadcast of the National Football League from Westwood One live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Get in the zone with AutoZone, and that streaming is free. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service as well can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. All right, let's go to Jeremiah in Alaska. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeremiah?
Hello.
You need to turn your radio down, sir. Yeah, turn your radio down. What's up, Jeremiah?
Well, I had to go to speaker here.
There you go. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just driving to work, driving my, you know, 3-hour drive.
Let's go fix that
stuff.
You gotta look at broken stuff.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
All right. So, what's on your mind?
Well, I cannot see Russia because. Well, I actually live in Soldotna, which if you guys ever look at a map of Alaska, Soldotna is like the ball sack of Alaska, right down there in between everything. But
I used to live in Ketchikan, bro.
Hey, Ketchikan. Hey, I've been there.
So what's on your mind, Jeremiah?
Josh Allen is overrated.
Oh, that's a triple play.
Oh, my God, you're killing
it. You just did the triple Indy. Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's won a couple playoff games, you know, but he has never made it to the dance. And, I mean, I don't want to say people are greatly rated that have been to the dance because, I mean, let's all talk about Rex Grossman. You know, he was at the dance, the Super Bowl. And, yeah, a lot of people don't even know who the heck he was. But anyway, the Bears have a penchant of putting people into the Super Bowl that, you know, are not legacy players. I don't mention Jim McMahon. You know, he's got a ring. But everybody talks about Josh Allen like he's so good, but he can't make it to the dance.
Well, he has yet to, but I don't believe, and thanks for the call, Jeremiah. You keep on driving straight. I'm just going to obviously push back. There are many quarterbacks who are overrated, but that ain't one of them.
Oh, Rich, top five overrated quarterbacks, go.
Stop it.
All right.
Honestly, the 13 seconds in Kansas City, was that Josh Allen's fault?
No.
Okay. I mean,
was not.
The fact that they were up with 13 seconds to go, did Josh Allen have something to do with that?
He threw an absolute bomb.
Got it. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
By the way, that was a triple Lindy right there. And by the way, also our coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins from Western New York, diehard Buffalo Bills fan, who also represents this show. Mike, you represent this show as well as anybody else around here with the way who you are behind the scenes. Folks may not know who he is behind the scenes, but you do not come on the Rich Eisen Show, drop an S-bomb, refer to somebody, let's just say, like the Sopranos character, Johnny Sack, and then besmirch Josh Allen and get away with it. I think Mike Hoskins is kind of GPSing where the heck Jeremiah in Alaska is right now and pull him over and give him a talking to.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But by the way, great job. You jumped on the dump button, man. Yeah, well done. Well done.
Oh, man.
Good job. Good job. Yeah, I'll push back on that. Well, speaking of overrated, are the Los Angeles Lakers that? Because Shams Charania of The Athletic put out a story after the Los Angeles Lakers lost again last night. They've lost 9 of 10, right?
9 of the last 12.
9 of the last 12.
Yeah.
Okay. 9 of the last 12. There you go.
Yeah.
And he introduced two very interesting words here. Jovan Bua also in this double byline story. Lakers coach Darvin Ham's standing in question amid locker room disconnect, sources. And in the article, six different sources with direct knowledge of the situation calls it a deepening disconnect between Darvin Ham and the Lakers locker room, which was shut after last night's home loss to the Jimmy Butler-less Heat. Darvin Ham was in on it, a team meeting after the game. And when the locker room opened up, LeBron left. Didn't speak.
He gone.
Austin Reeves spoke, called
Oh, yeah, here we go. We got it. All right, Austin Reeves spoke. Here you go. Let's play Austin Reeves having this to say after the game.
What's the vibe like in your locker room right now?
We're losing. That's anytime you lose, you know, the vibe should be off. You know, if I went in there and the vibe wasn't off after, you know, the rough stretch that we've had, then I'd be concerned. That's really it. You know, I don't expect for us to, you know, be happy with how we've played. So until we figured that out, you know, the vibe should be off.
Well, when you're losing and you are now playing a 10th different starting lineup of the season.
Yeah, they're now the 10th seed in the West.
That's
a game under 500.
And so, of course, we're all going to sit here and say LeBron's not happy with Darvin Ham. So he's going to have to speak, honestly.
Those are the optics.
The optics when,
for sure.
When there's six different sources saying this in The Athletic and you don't speak leaving and you are LeBron James and everybody thinks you're in charge anyway, which you got to speak, right?
Got to talk about it, man.
It's still early January. And the two words that they used in this piece, disjointedness.
Mm.
I looked it up. Lacking order or coherence. The state of lacking unity. Or there's another word for it. I think Austin Reeves used it. And then the other one is, like I said, it's a new nadir. I love that word. That is a great word.
Nadir.
That's a low point, baby.
Nadir?
I know what it is. You know what it is?
Low point in the fortunes of a person or organization.
You know what it is? I could put my finger right on it. It is the curse of the in-season tournament banner.
The banner. By the way, does the banner come down?
No, the banner. You can't take that away from
why?
Me.
The banner stays.
You're not going to take it down. Just because you've lost 9 of 12 since hanging the banner and putting plastic over your lockers in Las Vegas as if you have just won it all.
If they don't even make the play-in.
Dude, if they don't make the play-in, in-season win, can't make the play-in.
That banner's never coming down.
It's never coming down. Honestly, since winning the in-season tournament, this all happens. Because they look like world beaters.
Yeah.
Completely cohesive.
Well, it was rigged so they would win.
They were jointed.
Right.
They weren't disjointed. They were jointed.
Full David Stern conspiracy.
Oh, stop it.
For the Lakers.
Yeah, like Tyrese Halliburton's going to go for that
right.
As he beats the Bucks again last night.
Balling.
By smoking the Bucks again.
Yep.
Smiling as he goes down court. Like, that guy's going to go along with some sort of theory like yours. But honestly, like, ever since that happened, what are they just resting on their in-season tournament laurels?
Well, they peaked.
Does this mean Darvin Ham's going to lose his job?
Well,
I mean, this says six sources with direct knowledge raising questions about the head coach's standing. It's not like the standings where they're 10th now. Find the Warriors.
All right, if they don't even make the play-in, what's more likely? The banner comes down or Darvin Ham is out of town?
Of course,
Darvin
Ham's
not
coming down. They work too hard for it.
Darvin Ham's gone. Before that banner comes down.
Meanwhile,
make fun all you want of the banner, and we are right now, clearly.
I wish I won the banner.
That's standing up there. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but if the boss doesn't like you, you got to go. Like, if reports comes out that Rich Eisen is upset with TJ Jefferson, then guess what? You're going to turn on this TV, and TJ Jefferson ain't going to be here. I'm not going to be here. So
Darvin Ham. I mean, 12 games after hanging an in-season tournament banner, his standing is in question due to six sources close to the situation.
They're 6-13 on the road.
That's four less sources than the number of different starting lineups they've had.
Yikes.
Ham said, in all fairness, he's pointing to injuries, and a lot of these players are saying, no.
It's blank, whatever Austin Reeves said.
It's disjointedness. There it is. Curse of that banner.
That dang banner.
Look at this Craziness.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, I feel for them.
You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I'm obsessed with the fact that GQ has named Kim Kardashian Man of the Year. You're upset about it? I suggest you do better then.
If there were a Cosmo Woman of the Year and it was a man, how would you feel?
Well, that would just be lies. Name a man who's doing better than women right now and you can give him Woman of the Year. But until I see that...
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.